parents, have you ever heard of the word kajillion? Do you know how much that actually is? If you don't know, just ask your kids. They use that number frequently. The way it was explained to me is it's slightly more than millions of billions, but less than infinity. And what does that have to do with this week's gospel? When Jesus initially gave the parable, he used the amount 10,000 talents. That's what the first servant owed. They then changed that to huge amount. I don't think huge amount really reflects what the first servant owed. If you use today's dollars, it would equal to $8.6 billion. That's billions with a B. If you were a servant at the time, servants earned about a denarii a day. And with that income, it would take you 60,041,095 days and 4 hours to pay back 10,000 talents. Now, that may be a hard number for you to get your head around. I rounded that number to years, and it would be 164,000 years to pay it back, working 7 days a week. And just how would you earn a daily wage if you were thrown into debtor's prison? Why would Jesus use such a large number? Jesus used that figure in his parable to make a point about the enormity of God's forgiveness. Can you just imagine the joy in this person being relieved of this insurmountable debt? What does he do? Celebrate with his family and friends? Hardly. The person who just got his debt forgiven reacts in a way that I would hope most of us would not. He realizes he's free of debt and wants all the money owed to him. And the first person who owes him the money, what does he do? He shows no compassion, no mercy, but simply grabs his debtor by the throat and throws him into debtor's prison. Now, you might think, we don't have a debtor's prison, do we? How about social media? How many of you see posts lambasting a person who wronged someone? And then their friends all get on and lambast the same person as well. Occasionally, the post is not anonymous and calls out the wrongdoer by name, embarrassing them in the process and sometimes pushing them to respond. And if you read the post, they get angrier and angrier. And they will never be free of that anger until they forgive and forget. Or simply move on and hand the issue over to God. Can you just imagine if our God treated us the same way? Would you want to see your sins posted all over the sky for everyone to read? Thank goodness God doesn't get angry each and every time we sin against him. Especially that one sin that we repeat time after time after time. The sky would be full of misdeeds. Forgiveness is a divine attribute. Sin and forgiveness is important. It's discussed throughout the Bible. The Old Testament was full of judgment and vengeance. Remember an eye for an eye? Jesus came to earth to show us that we have a loving God. Jesus taught vengeance can be turned into forgiveness, and he modeled it himself. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He forgave her and instructed her not to repeat that sin. Forgiveness also requires repentance. It's important to remember that this parable, the parable of the merciless servant, is meant for all of us. We are like the servant who owes the master 10,000 talents. In other words, through our sins, we've accrued a debt that cannot possibly be paid off. We can never do enough good works, enough good deeds, and enough good actions to pay off this debt. And thankfully, we don't have to. This debt, due to our sins, was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. But how should we thank our God for accepting Jesus' payment for us? Jesus tells us exactly today what we have to do. And that is, forgive your brother from your heart. Now I can imagine some people are thinking, I just can't forgive that person, the one who hurt me beyond understanding. I can't even forget the incident after all these years. I know you say I have to, Deacon Mike, but I'm not there yet. I'm not God. I still hurt. So what can I do? I want to follow Jesus' teaching. The beauty of being Catholic is that we have so much guidance from the church which can help us in these difficult situations. Yes, even this one. In the Catechism, paragraph 2843, it states, quote, "It is not in our power not to feel or forget an offense, but the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit can turn injury into compassion and transform that hurt into intercession." Unquote. Jesus knew the Holy Spirit is the answer. But how do we put that paragraph into action? The Catechism says we're human, we hurt, and we can't ignore an offense. But what we have to do in the depths of our hearts is to turn that hurt into compassion, above all, through intercession. In other words, if you can't bring yourself to like the person who hurt you deeply, you can bring yourself to pray for them. Praying for them is the deepest way to show love for them. We must ask our God to bless them, to heal them, and to save them. It doesn't mean we have to let them hurt us or put ourselves in harm's way or allow them to walk all over us again. And even this is not easy, because it brings up the hurt again. It can be like ripping off the scab that was healing. But as Christians, if we want forgiveness, we have to model forgiveness. Jesus knows this isn't easy. It's probably one of the toughest things he asks us to do. But we know we can't just pick and choose which one of Jesus' teachings we have to follow. We have to follow all of them, even the ones that seem impossible for us. Remember, the ultimate judgment belongs to God, not us. This is why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us daily. We are called to show mercy, because mercy has first been shown to us. At times, it does seem very hard to forgive. Forgiveness means letting go of the debt that another person owes us. And this is exactly what Christ did for us on the cross. This is what it means to love as Christ loves us.